It's pretty awesome to watch Ray this week. He provided such a good example for our young people just as to what a man needs to be. And I was just so appreciative of just watching him. Everybody loves Ray. You know? And just watching him, you know, drive the bus, and then he hurts his ankle, and fortunately it wasn't his driving ankle, so he could keep that bus hauling. But what Ray provided for the young people this week was a good figure of what needs to take place at home. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, where we're at in our series on Peter, Peter teaches us about the home. And I believe what Peter teaches us this morning, if our homes would only be what Peter explains here, we would have a lot more life on a full-time basis with our youth. We would have a lot more life. Wives would be much more excited. Husbands would be more enthusiastic. Because if we just lived out what Peter says, how we should be in this passage. You know, and as I watched Ray this week, I think Ray was a good example to the young people of how God our Father is toward us. And I think that fathers, you need to be that picture at home. Wives, mothers, you need to be the picture of the submissive Christ. Not that Christ was any less than God the Father. He is the Father. But he chose to take a role that would help win the world. And so, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1 says, likewise, that word likewise now refers back to chapter 2 and how it was, Peter talks about how Christ chose to be submissive so that he could bear the sins of the world. And by choosing to be submissive to the Father, he redeemed mankind. And so he says, likewise. So now, wives, listen to this. Be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear. Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, that likewise here, husbands, goes right back to the submission of Christ, but also the godliness of the wife. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So first of all, he speaks to the wives. So we'll speak to the wives first of all here. First, the first point that he gives, wives, here's what you should be doing. You should be winning your husbands. And you're thinking, no, I got the ring on the finger. That's done. No. It's not done. Yes, you got the ring on it, but you are continually to win your husbands. Make yourself subordinate to your husband's leadership. Now, this verse does not teach, these verses do not teach that all women are into subjection under all men. No, it says your own husbands twice in this passage. It's not saying all women are lower than men. No, it's not, in fact, it's not saying that at all. It's saying wives, choose to allow your husband to lead. And it says you win them with your conversation. The conversation here, this is not talking. Because it doesn't say that they'll hear your conversation. It says they will behold, they will see your conversation. Your conversation is the same thing which was mentioned back in the chapter before, in 1 Peter chapter 2, which was your conversation is your manner of living. The way that you live. You should impress your husband with that and win him with that. It says that it will be chaste. That means proper, pure, clean. Wives, you're not to be involved in filth and smut and dirty things. But you are to set a good, chaste, pure, and clean example. And it says that it's joined with fear. The Greek word there is phobos. Ephesians 5:33 says this, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife," that's to the husband obviously, "even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence." This is that word, the same Greek word, phobeo, reverence her husband. Not that you fear your husband like he's going to hit me, all right? That's not the kind of fear. It's a respect, it's a reverence. It's that you want to please him. Why? Not just for his sake, because you fear God. That's why. So, wives, you need to have a respect to your position in the house where you are winning your husband. Not only that, you are to wow your husband. But wowing your husband is not the plaiting of the hair, the braiding of the hair, or the putting on of gold and jewelry. It's not by the way that you dress. That's not a bad thing, wives, to wow your husband with the way you dress. That's not bad, but that's not the point here. See, the way that you really wow your husband is you don't focus on the outward. Because there are some people that are beautiful on the outward, but they're miserable on the inward. And so it says, not the outward, the hairstyle, the jewelry, the clothing. It's the hidden person of the heart. That which is not corruptible. Let's talk about hair. What happens to hair? It falls out. What happens to jewelry? It gets dingy or lost. Clothing goes out of style. How many of you look back at the pictures of the clothes you used to wear and go, oh my goodness. Beauty is fleeting. Appearance is vain. Teeth fall out. Skin wrinkles. Hair changes color. Your body is corruptible, but a meek and quiet spirit, that in the sight of God is most precious. And so, wives, you want to wow your husband? A meek and quiet spirit. I think that's the opposite of the shrew, right? That's the opposite of the boisterous, the loud, the screaming. A meek and a quiet spirit will wow your husband. In Proverbs 21:9 and Proverbs 25:24, okay, two times, same verse. Listen to this verse. It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. If it says it twice, you better listen. Wow, your husband. Don't chase him away. Proverbs 21:19 says it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Wives, you can wow your husbands. How? Quiet and meek spirit. In the sight of God, precious. In the sight of God, if it's precious, it will wow your husband at home. But we don't just speak to the wives here this morning. Let's speak to the husbands. Because all that was said to the wife about submission... See, husbands, we forget this. In Ephesians 5, it talks about the wife submitting to her husband. But you know how it starts? Submit yourselves one to another. For this is well-pleasing to God. So here's what husbands, you are told to do. You are to honor your wife. It says live with her according to knowledge. You know what that means? Learn her, men. Yeah, you're going, yeah, I put the ring on it. That's done. You know? Dating, I won her. Ha, ha, ha. No. Honor her. You need to learn her. You know, how many, we won't ask for a raise of hands. We won't have total disclosure here this morning. But how many of you men have heard, you don't even know me? How many wives have said, you don't even know who I am, do you? Well, husbands, we're told here to learn her. We're to dwell with her according to knowledge. Understand her needs. Understand what she desires. And also, husbands, know your role You're a leader. Leaders lead not just by barking commands. That's not a leader. A leader leads by example. So you should give her honor, it tells us here. So as you give her honor, you need to elevate her. How do you elevate her? Well, in Proverbs 31, there's a really good example. In Proverbs 31, we're given the example of the industrious woman. And she's of great price. Her worth is more than gold. And with the industrious woman, how did she become that way? Was it by accident? I'll tell you one of the ways she became that way. Her husband went to the gate and called her blessed. Her husband went out into the marketplace, into the place where everybody traveled. Her husband went out where everybody could hear the place of business. And he didn't sit around and talk about the old lady. He didn't sit around and talk about the ball and chain. He didn't talk about that woman. No, he rose up and called her blessed. He elevated her, and as he elevated her, he brought honor to her, and that helped her fulfill her role. See, some of you guys, you're going, yeah, she doesn't honor me. She doesn't try to win me. She doesn't wow me. Well, maybe if you started honoring her, she would. The word dwell with here, it means that you live with. Okay, here's what this really means. You have a common roof.
Yeah, we have that.
You have a common table. You have a common bed. And you have a common altar. Do you have those things together? Or do you each have your own altar? Do you each have your own bed? You don't really dwell together. We're told here that this is what God wants for us. Peter gives these examples, this illustration, so we can lift up, we can honor our wives. Now, she's been given by God the weaker physical attributes. This is to honor her as the weaker vessel. God made it that way. Because God created you men to honor your wives by being providers. So provide. God created you men to be the jar openers, the box lifters, the furniture rearrangers, the water softener salt carriers. That's your job. Honor your wife. But also it tells us here we need to hallow our wife. You're like, hallow, I don't even know that word. Well, that's to make her holy. How do you make her holy? You set her apart. How do you set her apart? You set her apart from the things of this world. You set her apart for God's good, for God's glory, and that will bring you good and bring you the glory that you need. So here's what the passage says. We are heirs together of the grace of life. Men, your wife's inheritance in Christ is equal to yours. Your wife shares in the grace of the Lord just as much as you. True Christianity sees the woman exalted equally in her hope of heaven and in her inheritance of glory. So what does that tell us? It tells us that we need to live in a way so that our prayers are not hindered. Here's what it tells us. We should be praying with our wives. There's just an assumption there. I wonder how many of us men ever really pray with our wives. Not at mealtime. Doesn't count. You know, good God, thank you for this grub. Amen. That doesn't count. When do you really pray with your wife? Pray about the affairs of life. Pray for her good. Pray for your children. Pray for your family. You're supposed to hallow her. Set her apart. Make her holy. And see, if we don't do that, then we're not helping her be holy. 1 Corinthians 5, it talks about, we just don't have time to turn there, but tells us that we should try to help her be a chaste and pure vessel. How do we do that? We wash her with the word. Husbands, do you ever do that? Do you ever wash your wife with the word? Do you ever go to the word together? If you don't, you're not hallowing her. Husbands, you are to lead your wife to the throne room of grace. Accompany her to gain audience with the Almighty God. When a husband and wife don't cleave together, when they're not fulfilling their roles. When the woman is not winning and wowing her husband, and when the man is not honoring and hallowing his wife, here's what takes place in the marriage. You begin to fall apart. And a house divided against itself cannot stand. A church divided in its households cannot stand. When a couple is cohabitating but not living with each other, there's sin. And that sin hurts our entire body. It just doesn't affect you two at home. It affects the entire body. Let's talk about what sin is in a marriage. Sin is stolen attention. If your attention is drawn away from your spouse, that's the beginning. Secondly, increased activity. You get so busy with everything else, you don't have time for your spouse. And then you have nullified passion. Because your attention's gone, you're so active, you got no time for each other, and so there's no passion between the two of you. And I'll tell you what, that will create sin in your marriage, and that will tear you apart, and it will destroy your relationship. So, I want to encourage you to make your home a place where your wife is made holy, man. How do you do this? Two things. First of all, worship together. We go to church together. No, 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 no. I mean, yes, 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 go to church together. But that's not worshiping together. That's one day. That's an hour or two. Today, three, no. That's a small amount of time. Worshiping together is something you need to do at home. Worshiping is something that you have to do together on the road. Worshiping is something that has to take place more often than inside these walls. Worship together. And then don't just worship together, minister together. Serve. If all you do is serve in your house, you will miss something. Get out of your house and serve God in the world, and that'll draw you closer together. Serve together. Minister together. Real quickly, I want to look at Peter's wife. She's an awesome example to all you wives. Because Peter comes home one day, and he says, "Hey, honey, you know the fishing business that I got? Yeah, I quit today." "You did what?" "There's this guy, Jesus. I'm going to follow him." "What?" "Yeah, today I had my most successful fishing day ever. We caught more fish than we were able to handle. And I just left them." "What? I was planning on new drapes, you know." "Okay. All right, you're going to follow this guy. What's he going to pay?" Heavenly rewards. How many of you wives are with this program right now? Then Jesus comes over to her house, and it's filled with people, diseased people. They don't have antibiotic soap back then. They don't have Purell. They don't have hand sanitizer. And all these diseased people are coming into the house. There's so many people in the house that they can't fit. So they cut a hole in her roof and lower a guy down through the ceiling tiles. She's the first house in the neighborhood with a skylight. Peter had to spin it positively somehow, right? And it's all because this guy that her husband chose to follow came over. But you know what? When her mom got sick and was on her deathbed, that man came and healed her. So then he's quit fishing for 3.5 years. He's following this guy around. And she starts hearing all these things that some people love him and many people hate him. And then she hears that they want to kill her husband's leader. Every time that Jesus comes over to Capernaum, guess whose house they stay in? Her house. And guess what happens when they go to her house? Peter brings 12 dirty dudes with him. And they just take over. You know, you never once hear Mrs. P complain. Never once. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5, it tells us that Peter, his wife, traveled around with him in his ministry. They had this beautiful house by the seaside, right on the Sea of Galilee, the lowest freshwater point in the world, surrounded by mountains. Gorgeous. She left that to go minister with her husband, because here's what the master of her husband said: you will go minister for me, and you're going to die for me. Followed him and went with him. She was winning her husband. She wowed her husband. But you know what Peter did? He honored her. He hallowed her. And they were together in this. Her husband was there the night that Jesus was crucified. In fact, it was her husband that pulled out the sword. And she knew he was no swordsman. She'd watched him try to chop wood. She saw him cut the lamb at dinner. But she knew that he loved his Lord. Wives, follow the example. I didn't go to Sarah's example, which is in the passage, because Sarah called Abraham Lord. And I'm not going to ask you wives to call your husbands Lord. Although they would all like really like that. But you know what Abraham did to Sarah? He moved her from her family to a place where there was no family. He took her and he brought her before kings, and on two occasions said, "Lie, tell him you're my sister." He had an illegitimate child with the handmaid of Sarah. And what did she still do? She called him Lord. You know what? Your role is not based on how well the other person does. You don't get to quit because they're not doing good enough. We have roles in these relationships. You know, I look at these teenagers, and I look at the young people in our church that just a couple weeks ago had VBS and so excited about the Lord. And what do they see when they get home? Do we extinguish all of that? Do we just snuff that fire out? Or are we living in a way where we're fanning that flame, where we're trying to make it more, that we are living out our responsibilities? See, here's what God wants from us. He wants women for you to be a lady who wins and wows her husband. Men, he wants you to be men who honor and hallow your wives. And so if you're not that this morning, the invitation is for you to come to the altar of submission. God's plan for you as a couple. And you know what? If you haven't prayed together in a long time, make today day one. And when you get home, make sure day 2, 3, 4, 5, and it just continues. If it's been a long time since the two of you have just held hands, had things common, today's a day to start. Because if we can live out what God tells us, we can be very healthy in our marriage relationships. And if we're not going to be healthy in our marriage relationships, it's going to make it really hard for us to be healthy here at church. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you would have a wonderful work in all of our hearts and lives. I thank you that your goal for us is that the blessed assurance of Jesus Christ, his example, that we would live that out by the way we conduct our marriages. And Lord, this passage this morning, it speaks to couples, but Lord, we can apply this in many different ways. But Lord, for those couples, I pray that they would be convicted who aren't wowing and winning and honoring and hallowing. And I pray, Lord, this morning might be the beginning of many, many wonderful days as a couple to come. And Lord, for those who are living this, I pray they would be encouraged, that this morning there would just be some enthusiasm to say, "Yep, I'm going to keep to it. I'm going to continue this awesome path that we're on, because we know that our God has so many great things." And so, Lord, as we close out this time, I pray that your spirit and your blessings would be upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. If God has spoken to your heart, I invite you to use the altar to just get to business with your spouse if you need to, or just with God. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we would love this morning to help show you from God's word how you can know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And just as Julie was baptized this morning, that you too can enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste! of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior.
Well, with Julie being baptized this morning,